This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome you and greet you wherever you are on the radio or you're on the internet. We just greet you and welcome you to our program. As we talk so much, we've called this program for 19 plus years, Raising the Standard. We want the truth to be brought to a pinnacle in the body of Christ, and hopefully with that, the church walks in the fullness of what we're supposed to be walking in, well, the unsaved world will see what we have, and hopefully they'll be drawn to that walk that we have, not because of us, but because we know the Lord. And our purpose is for that, that souls will be saved all over the world. But we're here in the Treasure Coast, and so we trust that all of you that will be listening today, that you will be touched by this and not by what Gene and Donna, Pastor Gene and Donna, have to say necessarily. But if it's the Word of God, that's what we want. And the Word of God is what will make men free. And so Jesus said, when you know the truth, Yeshua said that, it will make you free. And so not set you free, but make you free. So we're honored to be here with you on another Saturday. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole Saturday.
The whole Saturday.
That sounds good. You have to stay on all day. If you can stay with us for the whole hour on this Saturday. And we greet you and welcome you. And we love you. And we thank you for listening in. Some of you have been listening in for months, some of you for years, some of you might be listening for the first time today, so we welcome and greet you as well. And we are honored to be here with you. You heard our intro. We are raising the standard. We do a lot with the Jewish roots and the understanding of what God gave the Jewish people. And thank you, Lord, that we're grafted in now, being the body of Christ. And so those things apply to us as well. And so we're honored to share those things, teach those things,
amen,
encourage people, raise them up to the place, Lord, that you want them to be. And as they grow with you, much more will be done in their families, those people around them, where they work, all the different things. And so
that's right.
We just release the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Father.
Just to move and flow through the words that we might have to say here with you.
Thank you,
today.
Lord.
So my wife's got a few things she'd like to say here up front. And then we'll move on and do a little teaching here with you as well this morning. Amen?
Yes, and
this
we are blessed,
I should say.
And we thank the Lord for you and thank you for your prayers. Please keep us in prayer. And on the radio program as well, WCNO. And we're also on the internet. So if this is your first time, or you can always listen to us through the airways, through the internet, or your telephone. Just go to WCNO.com, WCNO.com. I actually have their radio program on my telephone. I can listen to it anytime I want, you know. So that's a blessing, but to be going around the world, people anywhere in the world, or your friends and your neighbors somewhere else who don't pick us up locally can listen by way of the internet. What a blessing that is. Amen. So I want to mention, too, that I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island.
Yep.
And we saw your pictures, and the temple
Hallelujah.
Of God is looking really,
really good.
It's looking really good. He's doing a fabulous, fabulous work over there, building God's house, building a house, a temple of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Not only a spiritual house, but a natural house for people to come and worship God in. Amen. A holy tabernacle. So we just thank the Lord for Roscoe and Audrey Walks. They're walking the island of Andros Island, an apostolic and prophetic ministry there. So if you'd like to get in touch with them, you can give us a call. We'd be glad to give you a way to get in touch with them. And they could use some financial help as well to finish the building up, to get the roof on and the other materials needed to do the work. Amen. I want to mention also that we are having our celebration, our Purim.
It's coming up.
Purim celebration. Mm-hmm. And it's coming up next week. It's going to be March the 12th. It's on a Sunday. And it's going to be in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. So
excuse me.
Please give us a call. You need to RSVP if you'd like to come. And so we'll know how many people we'll be to prepare food for. So just bring a dessert or something to share, something sweet. And you know, sometimes people make those little Haman hats, you know, and every time we say Haman, we go,
boo!
Because he's a picture of the enemy.
That's right.
A picture of Satan.
He was an enemy of
and
Israel.
He was an enemy, and he still is an enemy of Israel. Well, it's interesting, you know, the story about that, because, you know, God told, he told them to destroy some of these particular places, and because they didn't, because a certain king didn't do that, what happened? That generation rose up again.
One generation after another.
Several hundred years later.
That's right.
And again tried to kill all the Jewish people that were living in Shushan. So we may talk a little bit about Esther today as well. You know, God's name is not mentioned in that book anywhere, but he is there on every page.
That's right.
And showing his power and how he works through people who will be obedient. And are faithful, you know. God's looking for faithful people, isn't he? Today, he's looking for those who will be faithful to him and to be obedient and to do what he's called us to do. Each and every one of us have a calling. So I want to mention again that date will be on the 12th of March, and which actually is in the month that was to be Adar 14, it's actually during that day, those times, and that's actually a full moon. That was very significant, too, that was on a full moon, isn't it? So if you'd like to come, just give us a phone call, and it's going to be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on a Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, there'll be a meal there, so come ready to eat.
People can go to their own church and come over for the celebration.
But however the Lord leads.
However he leads you.
So the phones, I also want to mention before I give the phone number that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries is the name of this ministry that we pastor. And we're here in Stuart, and we're on Kenner Highway in the Monterey Plaza. So we're not in a plaza building. So you could give us a call and let us know, or if you'd like to come, we'll tell you how to get there. And also we have Friday night at 7 p.m. And then today, we'll meet today at 4 p.m. And then again tomorrow at 10 a.m. So praise the Lord. So come and join us and visit us sometime and worship God with us, because the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy.
Thank you, Lord.
That comes out of Revelation 19:10. We're to worship God. Amen.
And
that's
no one else.
What we need to do. Worship him in spirit and in truth.
That's right.
So our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's right.
Amen, Pastor Gene. What do you have good for us today?
Well, I was just thinking about something I mentioned last weekend at church, and I've been thinking about it because I really had a heart last week for the young people in America today. We see that how many of them are just floundering around. They have no purpose, no goals, and you see how they wind up, some of them getting in gangs, and they get on drugs, and they start smoking at young ages, and just a lot of stuff, and some of them even drink and all that. And it's pathetic how the enemy's worked overtime with our young people. And my heart goes out to them. And so we used to have a youth program at the YMCA. We haven't been there for quite a few years now. But we had times with the kids that we'd have a Bible study after we got done with their playtime. When we got there, they get to play for about almost an hour. And then we had a room, we have a Bible study, and we'd go over a lot of things in the Bible. We'd write the words on the board that some people don't understand what they are. We asked the kids what they were, and And we helped to find words for them to understand, and we tried to impart into them to put the Word of God within their being and their heart to remember it, so when they left there, that they would grow by leaps and bounds. And so a lot of the young people we had come, they were like so many things going on. They were trying to find out what the truth really was, and or I should say is, you know. And it's like a funnel. Everything was going into a funnel. Well, which one's the right one? And so we did our best to raise the standard with those young people to teach them the Word of God, so they know that there's only one standard, there's only one truth. It's the Bible. And so we imparted a lot of that to them. Now, we don't know what all those young people are doing today. You know, they when we had to give up the youth group there at the Y and all that. But the interesting thing is, I hope that a lot that we gave them, some of those young kids were with us for months and months and months, and they had a lot of Word put in them. And my heart was always that would grow in them and it would cause them to mature. And they would stand alone in church. They wouldn't get in with the common crowd or the ones that the peer pressure and all that. And if they could stand alone and trust the Lord, that's what we prayed for and hoped for them. And so I hope that majority of them run that place because we poured our heart out to them. Every week we did that. And so amen. We're going to pour our heart to you today about some things as well. But I got thinking about the youth, and I was reading last week, and the Lord took me over to Proverbs chapter 30, and I'm going to go over there with you for a minute, and I want to read a few verses, and this is what happened way back then. I'll get it in a minute. You know, generations just repeat themselves if there's not something to come to stop it, and the only way to stop all these things we have going on is for the young people and the adults as well to come to Yeshua HaMashiach. If they come to the Messiah and have an experience with Him, are sold out, their life will change, and they will come out from all that because the Bible says to come out from among them. Right. And if they can do that, well, then their life will be changed. So I found this in Proverbs 30. I want to read this with you. Verse 4 caught me when I was looking at this last week. It says this, "Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended?" There's only one person that's done that. His name is Yeshua. "Who hath gathered the wind in his fist?" Huh, that's God, huh? "Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name?" We know his name if we're born again, don't we? What is his name? And what is his son's name? His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. We call him Jesus Christ, Yeshua. If you can't ask, tell. So here, this is a marvelous word right here. What is his name? And what is his son's name? Well, it's God the Father, Yod Heh Vav Heh, and his son, Yeshua. Amen? Now we go to verse 5. "Every word of God is pure." Well, that should be an amen to all of us. "He is a shield also." I'm sorry. "He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him." Now, it says every word of God is pure. Now, we got to remember also, we've got a lot of pollution going on today in the body of Christ. Wow. With all these Bible translations that are contrary, that are written on a perverted Greek text and all, that are not giving the young people and adults as well the pure word of God. Every word of God is pure. "He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." And then it says, "And add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." So we want to add to his word, and we don't want to take away. It tells us that in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I believe, and also in Revelation chapter 22. So we want to keep those things in mind about the word of God. And there's a Psalm that we put on our Bible marathon banner every year. What is that, Donna? It's what? Psalm 138, I believe it is. It says,
verse
God,
2.
God, verse 2, God regards his word higher than his name. Okay.
That's right.
Who's his word? It's Yeshua.
His son.
Okay? His son. And so,
his son is the word.
That's right. He is the word. So I read through all this, and then I came down to verse 11. I'm going to read 11 through 14 with you. This is what really caught me last week. And I read this at church, and because I was really... really concerned, and I still am, about our young people, because I see them, how they flounder around, and you know, they start smoking at early ages, they're getting tattoos on all their body, all the stuff that they're doing that God would rather them not be doing, you know.
That's for sure.
That's for sure. And I'm going to start in verse 11. Listen to this, it's talking about generations. Remember, this happened, these things happened years and years and years ago. But if something doesn't come into a generation to change the thought and go a new way, well, the generations that come will what? Will be cursed, and the things will continue to go down. And that's what they are, the generational curses. So listen to this, verse 11. "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." We have that so much in our country today. You know what they did in the Bible days way back? If you cursed your father and mother, you were put to death. I mean, wow. So we're to honor our mother and father, and the Bible tells us if we do, we're going to have long life, and things will go well with us. So we used to tell the young people, do you want to have long life? Do you want things to go well with you? Well, if you walk with God and trust Him and obey your parents while you're growing up, well, you're going to walk a new way that the most young people in the world don't know how to walk, because they're going to give you the Word of God and you don't know how to do that. And so what will happen? You will become a success in your life. No matter what your purpose, what God's called you to do, you'll be a success. Now, verse 12 says this, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. I don't do anything wrong. You know, I'm okay. And yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a book written years ago called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And everybody can do their own thing and they're okay. But see, they're not okay. The Bible makes it clear we're not okay. We'll not be okay. We will not be in the kingdom of God without the washing of the blood of Yeshua into our lives.
Amen.
That He will come into our lives, change our hearts, and then we will have a walk with Him that we'll never be ashamed of, and one day we will stand before Him, and we know that we'll be in the kingdom of God as well. So that's interesting. We can't be pure in our eyes. There's no such thing as self-righteousness. You don't have any righteousness in yourself. Isaiah said our righteousness was like filthy rags in it, Pastor.
That's right.
And so we don't have it. So what righteousness do we have? It comes from Yeshua. I keep quoting this verse all
it's
the time
imparted.
In Corinthians. It says the man that knew no sin became what? Our offering, basically, is what it's our bloody sacrifice, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. That's the only righteousness we can have. So this generation that are pure in their own eyes, if they stay in that place and they don't come to Christ, what will happen? One day, they're going to be lost. They have to come to Yeshua. There's no other way to come into the kingdom of God except through Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by Him. That's it. And so this is an interesting verse here to warn people. Now, verse 13, it talks about these generations. Now, there is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. So what are they? Prideful, arrogant, and all these things we see today. And this needs to be broken in our country. It has to be broken. And so if we can get the next generation, the young people, if they can get turned around and come to Christ and walk that new way, well, this thing could just be obliterated, because we know the devil's working overtime. But the generation that'll walk that way, they're going to be blessed by God, and they're coming in, they're going out. Everything will be blessed if they'll just do that. So we got to bind what? Pride and arrogance. It tells you what? Pride comes before a fall. So we don't want to see that happen. But these are things that's going on in our country right now. Now, verse 14, there is a generation again whose teeth are as swords. Yeah, boy, I mean, they can bite and devour. And their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Those are the important verses I wanted to read. So we have that going on today. But see, the Bible tells us that we're a chosen generation. Hear that? You hear what I said? A chosen generation, not doing these things. We're a chosen generation in Christ the Messiah. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Hallelujah. We're set apart if we come to Christ to do what? To declare all of His wonderful excellencies, all the wonderful things that He does, and to know that He's the one that called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what we need today. So I just wanted to open up and just share that with you. And I've had a burden, so I keep praying for these young people. And Donna and I prayed for them for many years before we moved to Stuart years ago. We were involved with youth ministry down in Fort Lauderdale, and we prayed for so many kids in that ministry we're involved with down there over the years. And they received the Lord. They prayed and asked Jesus to come into their hearts and all. But my question is, where are they today? What are they doing today? See, if we don't, we have to put something good in after we come into the kingdom of God. It's like the strong man. There's a strong man there. And when we come to Christ, well, with Christ's power all in our lives and the anointing that we have, greater is He that's in us than out in the world. Well, then we can kick that strong man out. And that's what these young people need to do. If we can keep him out, kicked out, well, then what's going to happen? We're going to grow, we're going to mature, and we'll accomplish what God wants us to do. But we need a lot more with the young people today. The world and the peer pressure is devastating to young people today. They see all the movies and all the famous people and how they're dressing, the way they dress, and all the weird stuff that we see. And it seems like the more weird it is, the more that the young people draw to that. But it's, if you got Jesus in your heart, you won't do that. You won't do that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so, you know, the world at large, you know, is trying to stop everything, bringing everything, anything to do with God. They want to bring that to a conclusion, won't allow it to happen. You know, football teams, basketball teams, baseball teams can't pray before a game, they're saying, and doing all this things that they're talking about. But there's a few people that will stand up. And I thank
God.
We're
praying for a change.
Or, that's what we need,
God
is a change.
God has spoken that there is a change coming.
And so let us start this year. That's right. Let us start in a great
way.
That's right.
Well, we talk about these generation of people, these children.
That's right.
Think about the children. And, you know, I know how it grieves our heart. But you know what? It's sad, but so many children don't have parents in their home. So the parents have really let their children down.
That's right.
Fathers have left. Mothers are raising children by themselves.
That's right. Single moms.
What is it? Almost half the population that I know of. I'm not really sure.
It's an epidemic.
The children are not getting the nurturing and the teaching, and they're not being taught about God either. Because what? There's a generation of parents that don't know God. There's a whole generation of parents that don't know God.
That's right.
And that don't know how to love, and don't, you know, that don't stay together. You know, they say they fall out of love, right? Love is a choice.
Yeah, it
love
is
a choice. We've been married how many years, honey?
55. It's going to be 56
years.
Here pretty
well,
soon.
Now they know how old we are.
Yeah.
We have been married a long time. And, you know, love is a choice. There's always good and bad days. There's good and bad, better years.
That's right.
You know, but there's always a choice. And love is a choice. And so there's a lot of children that are without the proper teaching and instructions from the Lord. Because, you know, God told them way back in the beginning to tell your children about these things.
While they're laying down, while they're sleeping, while they're eating, all anywhere.
That's right.
All the time, yeah.
All the time.
Tell them about things
that
God.
You rise up and you go, when you're walking,
that's right,
and you're sleeping, and also to tell them about the things that happened during the Bible. Tell them about, like Passover's coming up.
That's
he
right.
told them to tell them, and tell them about, you know, how God delivered them.
Yeah.
See, God's still delivering us from sin. He's delivering, and he sent his son to deliver us. Well, he delivered the Israelite children with Moses and taking them through the Red Sea. But, you know, once they got across the sea, they still had problems.
That's right.
Well, you know, once we come to Christ, many times we still have problems, but we have a solution. We
That's
have
right.
The, we
Hallelujah.
Have the answer.
Oosh,
we have the answer.
Yes.
Thank
Oosh.
You, Lord.
That's
and
right.
there's so many examples through the Bible. You know, they're not just stories
Events
that happen.
That's right.
It's an event that tells a story about somebody's life.
That's right.
For instance, like Esther.
Yes, you got it.
Esther.
Hadassah.
Hadassah was her Hebrew name.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't have a mother or a father. She had lost her mother and her father, but she had a godly uncle that adopted her, Mordecai. So his name was Mordecai. He adopted her, and he trained her, and he taught her, and he raised her up as his daughter, as his own daughter. I think about a lot of people that are taking in children.
That's right.
That don't have
foster homes.
Or adopting them.
That's right.
Even adopting children of different races.
That's it.
Because of love, because they see a need. You know, people seem to have more compassion and care for to adopt a dog.
Yeah.
You know,
than they would a person.
I love dogs. I love animals, and I know you do too. But God cares about the souls of people. See, the souls of a dog doesn't have to receive a soul. I mean, he doesn't have to be born again. People have souls that need to be nurtured and taught and loved. People need love. And so here we have, talking about the book of Esther. Well, it's a small book. It's only, I think, how many chapters?
12 chapters, I believe, yes.
10 chapters, I think. 10 chapters.
10 chapters, I'm thinking.
10 chapters. Okay. And God's name isn't mentioned anywhere in this whole book. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be having a feast of Purim. Purim means, it's a word that means, you know, help me out a little bit, huh? It's sort of like
it was a casting of lots.
Casting of lots. It's like throwing dice.
That's right.
To see when they when they were going to kill
all the
Jews. Because the plan was to destroy every single Jew that lived in that
In the Persian Empire. They wanted to kill them all.
That's right. And there were a lot of them. A lot of them.
That's right.
Yeah, there was a lot of them. And so many of them had, they had been set free. They could have gone back to Israel, but they chose to stay there.
That's right.
Well, look at all the Jewish people that are, that can go back. If they're Jewish, they can go back to Israel. They can make Aliyah, and many people are. But many people, many of them will choose to stay right here in America.
That's right.
Or whatever other nation that they're in, because there's, you know, they're all free to go back, but they have to make a choice if they want to make that trip back, because that's like changing your whole lifestyle and everything you're used to. Can you imagine taking a whole family, your children and everything else, and leaving schools, leaving their neighborhood, leaving their home, leaving all the good blessings that they have here in America.
That's right.
Not that they won't have blessings if they go back to make Aliyah, but you're talking about making a whole life change, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just can't handle it. They don't want to do it, and they won't do it. But many are making that change.
That's right.
Mm.
So, you know, it's funny when you're talking about this. You know, maybe that's why I got such a burden to have over the years for young people, because I was adopted myself at 2.5.
Right.
And who knows? I could have been given to anybody. Back in those days, there was really no requirements. It was over a handshake and an agreement, and I got adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
You could have been put out on the street.
I could have been put out on the street. I could have had a lot of things happen to me.
But that didn't happen.
That didn't happen by the grace of God.
God put you in a home where you were with
I was loved and cared for.
You were loved and cared for.
And I was blessed. That's
and
right.
Your adopted mother couldn't have children, so she really loved you a lot.
Right.
I'm telling you.
I know she did.
She really loved you.
And
she spoiled the pants off of you. Amen.
That's right. And you think about today, you know, people just have just a notion, or I'm going to do this. I'm pregnant. I'm going to get an abortion. Well, there's a life there that's being snuffed out. You know, that God hates this. And I tell you, it's an abomination to God that's being done. But you know, why don't they just have the child and put it up for adoption then?
Well, that would be the better thing.
That's
but
right.
People don't want to carry a child to.
That's turn. Right.
But you know, I think about
the other key thing is this. Before we go on, is that if they carry the child to the end and they see that baby born, there's a connection here that God gives with a love of a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't comprehend it.
They'll see it.
There's a connection. It's more than a soul tie.
Mm-hmm.
That baby was in them for 9 months. There's a connection when that baby's
they'll know
born.
It's theirs.
They
want,
know
they'll
it.
Want to keep it.
That's right.
They'll
and some people let kids go like that. You know, they adopted them. And then later on, they want to try to get them back.
They can't.
And they can't.
Or they can't find them even.
Or they can't even find them, right.
Mm.
So I don't know how we got on that, but we did. But anyway...
Well, God loves children, and
he sure does.
He loves all people, and he's not that any should perish, but that we should all come to knowledge of God and to repent and
that's
to
right.
know the Lord, so we
that's
could
right.
be with Him in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's what He wants. He wants us to be with Him.
That's right.
That's what we're created for. Amen. To worship God. Amen. Praise God. So thank
that's
you, Lord,
right.
for that.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, so Esther or Hadassah was a very young woman, and
mm-hmm.
of course, if you don't know the story, read the book of Esther this week, you know, because it will help you to, and then you'll have questions and you'll want to know more about it, but because we don't have time to go through the whole all chapters of this book, but or come to the program and you'll see part of that too, and even then we won't have time to go through all of it, but it's a real picture of God's love for His people and
That's
how
right.
He sends deliverance. Sometimes he sends deliverance in different ways. This is another picture of God's deliverance and how God delivered the Israelite children out of from being destroyed. I mean, Haman was an ancestor of the Agites, right?
That's right.
He wanted to destroy every single one of them. He hated Mordecai and he hated Jews. And his plan was to creep into the government, which is what he did. He crept into the government, and he became second in place to the king, and he found favor with the king.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the king was having this big party, and so he snuck around. He got in there where he found favor and where he could make decrees, and he was even given the king's ring, and where he could make decrees and even change things in government. So, you know, what I'm thinking, wow, is this not still happening today in governments? Not just in America, but anywhere, things get changed and they get where they were going to kill all the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Mordecai, he was a wise man. And of course, Esther, she was beautiful. Her name actually was Hadassah.
Esther was her Persian name.
Her Persian name was Esther. But they went around to replace the king's wife because she didn't submit to what the king wanted. And so the decision was his wise men, what would I say, his wise men, his senate, his senators and whatever these people,
his elders, all these governors,
they gave him, they told him what to do, basically. He said, go out and gather up all the beautiful women and mm-hmm. bring them into the courts of the women and mm-hmm. and you know you'll choose over time you'll choose you'll find yourself a wife better than the one you had. So anyway, so Esther or Hadassah was one of them that they captured and took her into the king's into where they were prepared the women with the of course we talked about the oil and the myrrh and all the incense and all the things. And And then there was a day, one night, when she was to go in before the king. Well, she found favor, didn't she?
That's right.
She found favor, and God, you know, God causes us to find favor, and she became the queen. So now she is close to the queen, and so here we have, not only do we have an enemy that's close to the king, but we have Esther, his wife. We've got this kind of a counterbalance, amen?
Yeah.
And then we got Mordecai, the intercessor.
That's right.
He's interceding. You know, he didn't put on the sackcloth and ashes until after they found out. He was always at the gate when Esther became queen. He was always there checking on her, watching her.
That's right. Seeing,
protecting her. You know, and he was that intercessor. You know, he's the one that he was that father picture that loved her so much that he was going to protect her, right? And so, and give her wise counsel. But when they found out that the plan was, because they sent these letters out all over the
to all the provinces,
that mm-hmm. what they were going to do on a certain day to have a war, kill all the Jews, is that when he found out, he put on sackcloth and ashes and he lay there, and in front of the gate. And, you know, that was against the law to do that, and so he was praying. I think God is calling a lot of intercessors to lay before the Lord.
Yes, Lord,
and
this
to
time,
intercede
pray,
for,
yes.
And pray for the decisions that mm-hmm. that the king or that our president will make, or you know, mm-hmm. throughout his election, or even in cities. What about in mayors, and what about cities and commissioners and governors, all these places that are, if some of the things are turned back over to the states, we need to pray for our governors, our leadership and our governors, our governor and our people that are in our state that make decisions. Because some of the things they're talking about turning back to the states to take care of. Well, we want our state to make godly choices, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Godly choices. So Esther, she had he came to her, and he told her what she needed to do, that she needed to go and speak to the king.
That's right.
Well, she had some fear, but you know, Esther never did tell him her name until the very end of the book. Does she reveal who she is? So the king doesn't know she's a
Jewish at this time.
Hebrew.
Yeah, doesn't
Jewish.
Know she's Jewish.
He doesn't
yeah.
know. He doesn't know that she's from the seed of Abraham.
Well, Mordecai told her to keep it quiet. Yeah.
They kept it secret.
That's
right. You know, you don't let everything out. You don't let everything out, because sometimes then the enemy finds out. So Haman didn't know. Haman didn't even know that she was who she was and who her ancestors were, you know?
That's right.
And so, anyways, he thought he had favor with the queen, too, because she invited him to the banquet. Isn't it interesting how she invited not only the king but the enemy to the banquet? That makes me think about when you go to the courts of heaven.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we have it. When you're going to a court, there's always somebody that's going to be that's coming against you.
That's right.
Man, that's trying to prove
prosecutor.
You're guilty, right?
Yeah.
Right, or to try to find fault with you.
That's right.
So here we have him, and they basically they went to the dinner that she planned the second time, two dinners actually, and she exposed him. She exposed who he was, and of course then the king rose up because his eyes were opened. See, our eyes should be open to know who our enemy is. We have an enemy. You know, it's not flesh and blood, but there's an enemy that's out there to come to steal, kill, and destroy, and his name is Satan. Amen.
But you know, there's so many spiritual things through all this. Talking about actual things that happened, but there's a reason and the time. Amazed me, Pastor Donna, was how God chose that when they were going to cast those lots.
That's right.
That it was done at the Passover. Well, why would it be a Passover? Why wouldn't it have been some other time? Because mm-hmm. Passover is all, everything that we see with Passover and some of the appointed times is all about deliverance.
That's right.
And so God was going to deliver the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, from the Persians at that time, and he was going to show that it was going to happen at Passover again, because that's when that came, when they came out of Egypt, and they left. What happened? Then there was a Passover that was established and all that, and that was all about being delivered and all that. And so then, and even after Moses died and all, and Joshua took over, when they went across the Jordan River, when was that? It was Passover again. They're being delivered again. Mm-hmm. And so the deliverance is there. And then this we see with Esther and Mordecai and Haman. What happened? Haman was a picture of the false Messiah, and they were delivered from all that. And then Yeshua came, died on a cross, rose from the grave, shed his blood for all of us, that we can be delivered from the power of sin and death. It's all
at
Passover.
And the plan was to destroy Yeshua even at Passover.
That's
you know, and even Judas, who sold for 30 pieces of silver. And so that's really good, because that was Nisan, and Nisan is the month of Passover, which will be
Adar.
30 days from Purim.
That's right.
It says over here in Esther chapter 3, it says, verse 12, it says, then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. That's the month of Nisan. That's the month of Passover. And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language. They put this in all these different languages.
Yep.
And the name of King Ahasuerus was written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women. No mercy, right?
Right.
In one day, to do it all in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, that which is the month of Adar. And that's the last month of the Hebrew year. And so right now we're in the month of Adar. And so this will be on Adar 12.
That's right.
So, I mean, Adar 14, actually. Yep. Adar 14. So Yeshua, he died in Nisan, didn't he?
That's right.
But they were going to kill all the Jews here. But they made this plan at Passover. The plan was made at Passover, and then they threw the when they were making
sort of that. Yeah.
They were like
casting
lot, like choosing the month and they chose the month and the day.
And God controlled all that.
God controlled all that, because
that's
God
right.
was going to show them who was in rule.
That's right. Who was in charge?
And Satan thinks he's got a lot of he's going to take over, but you know he's not. God has a final say. So.
Well, let's think about this for a moment. You know, Ahasuerus was the king. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know all this stuff about Haman and all that. But you kind of wonder, where did all this hate come from? Well, if we look at this real close, we can find out. If you look at chapter 2, verse 5, it says, now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish of Benjamin. Well, you find out that he was a descendant of King Saul, okay? All right? So what happened to King Saul? You know, he was the king, but he lost his anointing because he disobeyed God. He was supposed to go into the Amalekites, and he was supposed to destroy everything, the king and everything, and he had disobeyed God. And think about this. Hundreds of years went by, and there's a group of people from the Amalekites that survived, and this is where Haman came from. Well, that hatred was carried on from generation to generation to generation. And if we look at this real close, we'll find out that when the Haman comes, and I don't think the king knew anything about his ancestries that much. Well, then we find out that where he came from, and now we can see how the hate was put in place. And when Haman died on the gallows, that broke the curse that had been there all those years where they disobeyed King Saul all the way through, and it was stopped at that particular time. So we see a real spiritual truth through all this. What happened? Because Saul disobeyed. Well, but did Mordecai?
And Samuel told him too. He says, the kingdom's taken from you.
It's taken from you. It's going to be given to somebody else because of his disobedience. So this is where all the hatred came from. Well, this was ended when Haman got hung on the gallows. But the interesting thing is,
and not only Haman, but Haman's 10 sons.
That's right. But the key things Don is talking about here, you know, is the time that God chose in this book, God's hands right here. And by the way, in chapter 3, verse 7, it talks, it calls it the month of Nisan. Well, think about this. Before the captivity came with the Babylonians, it was called the month of Abib or Aviv. Well, we see now the name has been changed after the captivity. The Jewish people changed the name to the month of Nisan somehow. And it tells you when it was, okay? And then it even mentions the month of Adar, which is what? Adar is what? The 12th month on the Jewish prophetic calendar.
That's right.
And then the next month is what? Nisan. So here they are.
Start all over again.
They cast these lots on that particular day. And it tells us in verse 7, they cast Pur, that's how they got the name Purim, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, and is the month of Adar. So they determined, it was all determined at Passover, but then what? 11 months later, in the month of Adar, is when all this havoc was going to come to destroy the Jews. No wonder the people were in panic. They knew that there was something going on that was going to attempt to try to kill all the Jewish people. But see, God's hand is right in the middle of all this. It's amazing.
That's right.
With Mordecai and Esther and how it all manifested. But it was some we were talking about generations a moment ago over there in Proverbs 30. From generation to generation. If those things aren't broken, what happens? They carry on. So the curse was there all along. But when Haman died, that curse was broken.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it also shows how easily people can be deceived.
Sure.
It's in verse 8 of chapter 3, I believe it is. It says, "And Haman said unto the king, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom." Thy kingdom, he's bringing it back to the king. You know, this is going on in your kingdom, he's saying. And all the people, neither keep they the king's law. In other words, they're disobeying your law. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. So he's planting seeds into the king's mind, you know. He says, if it please the king... He's not telling him what to do, but if it pleases you, king, he says, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay, he's bribing him, I will pay 10,000 talents of silver. I don't know how much money
that would be.
To the hands of those who have the charge of the business, whoever's going to take care of this business, you know, this dirty business.
Into the king's treasury.
To bring it into the king's treasury.
Well, remember, a talent's between 75 and 100 pounds. Of silver. Can you imagine that?
It's a lot of money.
We figure this out.
Today it would be worth...
Yeah, it's about 750,000 pounds of silver. Can you imagine that?
Wonder what that
would be. Our whole church sanctuary would hold probably all that silver.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, it was enormous. It blows my mind. So he was bribing the king, wasn't he?
He was bribing the king.
It was a bribe.
And so what did the king? The king says, that sounds good. That sounds good. And the king took his ring from his hand. Now he's going to give him authority, right?
Right.
And gave it unto Haman. See, when we come against what God's word says, we're given authority to the enemy.
That's right.
To the devil. Mm-hmm. Amen. And people have done that. They've given their soul to the devil. And gave it unto Haman. This now tells you exactly who he is. The son of
Hammedatha,
the Agagite.
Now there's a key thing. Agagite, okay.
The Jews' enemy.
Back when Saul's day, he was told to kill King Agag.
Yes.
Well, he did not do that. This is what caused all this down through all these years, okay? So now we see now what? The Haman is an Agagite.
Yes, he is.
Let's go on.
You know, that goes on from generation generation. Now I read,
wasn't broken
I already
yet.
Read the rest of that.
That's right.
I read most
That's right.
of that. So this goes on from generation to generation. So this also shows us that, you know, curses go on from generation
That's right.
to generation. Blessings also go on from generation to generation. You know, the curses go down, what, to the third and fourth generation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if that third or fourth generation picks up that curse and carries it on, it'll go on down to the next third and fourth generation.
That's it.
And what does it do? It just continues on and on and on. So you can say, well, how can you say just the third and fourth when now it's the 100th generation or maybe it's the 200th generation and the curse is still there? It's because there's carriers of the children, the offsprings of people who pick up that curse and carry it and continue to propel it onto the next generation,
right.
The next generation. But I like what it says. It says that the blessings of God go to what? thousand generations.
Thousand generations. Hallelujah.
So praise God for that.
But you know, I thought about
the curses when, can be broken. Yeah,
I thought about when we read this about, you know, well, Haman kind of shared with the king why he wanted to do this.
Right.
And he was basically lying because it wasn't true. But the king didn't even really, don't look like he didn't investigate into this at all to see what Haman was talking about. The hate came way back generations before that and was carried through this. And it was because he hated the Jewish people. And then when Mordecai wouldn't bow to him, that made it even worse. And then it came to the point that he didn't want to just kill Mordecai, he wanted to kill all the Jewish people. That's just incredible.
That's right, because it grew. And for chapter 4, it tells us that, you know, when Mordecai perceived or he found out all that was done, Mordecai, he rent his clothes or he tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ashes. So that's a picture of mourning. And you know, we need to be mourning over some things in that's going on in the world today. And went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry.
He was in agony. He was in travail.
I'm sure he was crying unto the Lord, and you know, and I'm sure he told other people, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate
clothed with sackcloth.
And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning. So now the other people are mourning the Jews and fasting. So they started fasting already
and weeping
and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So they joined Mordecai. You know, there's a place in the Bible where it says, God's looking for an intercessor.
That's right.
Is there a man?
Where's the intercessor?
Well, Mordecai was a man, but he was like a seed that started the ball rolling, where there would be more intercessors and more people crying out and more people wailing and more people mourning and more people in sackcloth and ashes and more people crying out to the Lord because of what this decree has been made. What if this decree, and you know, there are people who say these very same things today.
That's right.
That speak death over people. The same thing. And so what should we be doing? We need to cry out. We need to lament. We need to cry out in the Spirit. We need to be praying. He prayed and he was in fasting. They started fasting even before Esther talked to her uncle or her father and said to him to fast and pray. He told the people to fast and pray. No food and no drink.
For 3 days.
And, you know, they did that. But here, these people, they had already started fasting. They had already prepared themselves for a fast. Their hearts were already, I hadn't seen this before. Their hearts were already prepared for a fast and for prayer, because they had already had that unction in their spirit, to pray. And so when Esther brings forth and tells Mordecai what to do, she says, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast for 3 days, myself and my maidens. I think she had 7 maidens or whatever, how many ever she had. Mm-hmm. But she said she was going to do that, and then she would go before the king. So she sought the Lord before she went before the king. So she had to prepare her heart, and she had to prepare her heart with fasting and prayer.
That's right.
You know, fasting does something to you. You know, it shuts the flesh off.
That's right. You know, one thing I'd like to mention here, before we got about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I like to relate with our President Trump now. We mentioned it here last week or week before about he was like Cyrus. Well, now the question, this all comes from what we see here in the book of Esther. Now we hear about Ahasuerus the king. That was a title. It's like the pharaohs were called pharaohs, but they had a different name. I don't know how many ones kings that were called Ahasuerus, 3 or 4, I forget what it was in history. But anyway, he was really Darius the Mede. That's who he was. Well, remember, Darius the Mede married Esther. Esther had a son by the name of Cyrus.
Yes.
This is the reason why that Cyrus had the burden to let the Jews come back to Israel, because he had a Jewish mother. He was raised that
way. That's awesome.
Well, think about it.
Yes.
They were under a governmental system, this Persian Empire, that had been carried on for several hundred years,
Yes.
And they needed to change, Well, the change didn't come until what? Until Cyrus was born, and what his purpose was, and what happened here in the book of Esther. Well, we see this with President Trump. He's not of the political group. He's a businessman that came out of the world, because God knows that we need a change in this country. So I think he's got a Cyrus anointing upon his life.
Definitely, I believe
and
that
I,
too.
And I think this
it doesn't
is so,
mean he's a king.
No.
So,
but this is an inter- but he's leader
right.
of this country.
But he's a leader.
And so it's amazing. We see how we fit all this together.
That's right.
And see what God did with all this, and there was a purpose behind it. So He chose. he chose Esther to wind up being the mother of this man named Cyrus that was going to do this because he had a burden for Israel to come back. And so he was the one that put the decree in place for them to come back. It's incredible. So I believe now President Trump's in a place where he can change a lot of things and bring this country...
Make some new decrees.
New decrees and bring it back to a place where it used to be that we can move on and accomplish and be the great country that we used to be instead of all this stuff we have going on. You know, I thought this morning, we see stuff on TV that they're picking all the Democrats are picking on this and that and the other, all the little things that they're just fussing over whether we should vote for this guy to be put in this position that President Trump wants or whatever. But you know, why don't they spend all that time planning on how are we going to change these bills? How are we going to bring these new issues into place and change the past, what's caused a problem in our country? How are we going to get jobs? How are we going to do this? How are we going to... Why don't they talk about those things? Instead, they pick on all the minority things instead of the big things. Well, King Cyrus, you know, when he came, he went after the big thing. He knew that Israel needed to be restored and brought back to the land. And so he was part of that. It's
well,
amazing.
You know, and we need to pray too, because a lot of people don't have respect. We should have respect for a title, for somebody
sure.
who's a president. We don't just call him, hey, Trump or
yeah.
that. No, we say President Trump, President Donald
Even when they're
Trump.
Out of office, you still call them that, your
yes,
president.
Yes, and we honor the office. We honor the office. And I don't think we can look at, like you mentioned, Democrats. I don't think we can just say Democrats, because it's not just one group of people, all of them, because there are some in both parties that don't like him or are not happy about it. You know, they would rather have seen another Republican become president than him. So it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual thing that's pulling our country down and down and down and down. It's going to take a spiritual breakthrough.
Yeah.
A breakthrough to get us out of this mess, to get things back in. At least how, I'm not saying they were perfect back when we were kids, or it wasn't perfect.
It's a lot better than now.
It's never been perfect. It wasn't perfect in the very beginning.
That's right.
When this country was established. But we can come back to godly principles.
That's it.
We can have prayer back in school. Now that was in school. We had prayer in school when I went to school. We can have things back that can come back that should be right.
That's right.
That line up with the principles of God, and we can seek the best for all people. You know, I think that's what he wants to do, and to come against all of the works of the devil. There's so many things that we could talk about that the devil has instigated through men. See, the devil used Haman. Haman was just a man that the devil used, right? So to bring down the Jewish people. So if people can see the Lord, I mean, we need to pray for salvation. Not everybody's going to come to the Lord, we know that, but I believe that many of them will, especially all the people that are so confused. It's just like there's so much confusion going on that people don't know, because they're hearing this and they're hearing that, and they don't know what to believe.
And they form false opinions.
So they don't know what to believe.
But the interesting thing about this is Cyrus, his name was mentioned in the book of Isaiah.
Prophesied.
Many, 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 many years before he was ever even born, knowing that there needed to be a change in Israel.
That's
I
right.
believe that God's hand is on President Trump, and he's the man. And, you know, if history would go on and books would be written, might find out he's the one that we know that God put in place to turn things around. And
mm-hmm.
so I see this comparison spiritually with Cyrus and with President Trump. And so we see a lot of patterns here.
Amen.
And it's carried down from generation to generation to show us. And so this is amazing. You know, this is not a story we're reading here.
This is fact.
This is a fact, and this is an event that happened in history to show us things for the future, even about Haman being killed, being the picture of the false Messiah and all that.
I want to read another
Go
scripture
ahead,
because I know we're not going to have time to cover all of Esther. But, you know, come to our Esther program or celebration that we're going to have, and whenever we say the word Haman, everybody says
boo,
you know, or we have shakers, bring a noisemaker, you know, stomp
yeah.
your shoes. But
drowned
come,
out his
it's
name.
A time for to joy, because we overcome. When he's, you know, they overcame the works of the enemy. I like what it says over here in chapter 4. Mordecai came and said to Esther, he said, then Mordecai came to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape.
What verse are you in?
For 13.
Okay.
In the king's house more than all the Jews. Don't think that you're any better because
That's
you're
right.
the queen, you know, he's mm-hmm. saying. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace, like in other words, if you don't say anything at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place.
He's always got somebody.
Mordecai knew that God was going to deliver his people
regardless,
no matter who. He will use somebody who is obedient, who is willing and obedient.
And Esther
was
willing.
It's going to come from... So that shows that he had great faith.
That's right.
Great faith. For if thou holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. You're going to die, he says, if you don't do anything.
That's right.
And then that's the truth. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is where we're at right now.
We're all here for such a time as this
to see the glory of the Lord. So I say, release the glory.
That's right.
Release the glory.
Hallelujah.
Release the glory.
Hallelujah.
So we thank you, Lord, for this picture of God's deliverance at this time.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, I just want to say again, I'm going to just say that we have services here in Stuart, Florida, every Saturday, today at 4 o'clock, and also tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., and every Friday at 7 p.m. for our Shabbat service. And we're not per se a Messianic congregation. We just believe in the one new man. We believe in the Jew and the Gentile. We honor the Sabbath day, not legalistically, but because God said to do it. So, you know, so just come and join us, and we're thank you for listening to the radio program. You can also listen to us on the internet. You can listen to this program again if you'd like to go to WCNO.com and to just be blessed. I want to say and give you our telephone number here in Stuart, Florida. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7000.
Right. Amen. So as we close this program, if there's anybody listening today that you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, he's the deliverer.
Amen.
He can deliver you out of all the stuff in the world, break all the things in your past.
Yes.
He can bring you to a place that you won't have any concern. You'll trust you'll put all your trust in him.
Yes.
And as you do, you're going to grow and mature, and you're going to love him, and you have no concern what's going on around in the peripheral. And so let him come in, and he can change your heart. He did it for Donna and I. He's not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
He'll do it for anybody. So today would be a great day to ask him to do that, and you can be delivered out of the power of sin and death.
Amen.
So as we close this program, we're on here every week because we love God and we want to see the body of Christ raised to a new place. That's why we call the program
Raising
the Standard. So we tell you as we close every week to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.